Okay, City Council meeting for Tuesday, February 19th, 2019 is called to order. Invocation tonight by Councilman Lynette Mitchell, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please pray with us. Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, we come to you with such gratitude for letting us live and work in the great city of Orange Beach. Help us to make decisions that protect citizens and businesses and our tourists alike. Help us to remember from where we come and guide us as we navigate the waters of where we're going. In your precious name we pray, amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costo could not be with us. Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Cannon?
Here. Okay, I think we're going to jump right to our special guest tonight. So, Tracy, would you like to take the podium and introduce them? You're not on.
I just like to thank y'all so much for your support that the Alabama Gulf Coast do.
I think it's okay.
There you go.
All right. I think y'all heard me. And I'd really like to introduce Dr. Adam Langston. He is our new interim director at the zoo and our curator, Cindy Johnson. And they're here with some special guests. So here they are.
Yes.
We've got Jasper with us today. Say hi, Jasper. He's a lemur from Madagascar, and he's wanting to tell you thank you very much for all you're doing for the Gulf Coast Zoo. We certainly appreciate it. This is a zoo that doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to Cindy. It belongs to everyone in this area, and we just wholeheartedly appreciate your support. It's really a fun activity for families to come and see and do, and they get to actually touch and feel an animal. So I was telling somebody just a minute ago, you can come do this any day of the week. You can come down to the zoo, spend some time with four lemurs crawling all over you just like this. It is absolutely awesome. I tell people, if you're having a bad day, come spend some time, and Jasper will make it better. Won't you?
There we go.
Sweet.
Thank you, Jasper.
Absolutely. Oh, Cindy, pass that around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought she had a ribbon in her hand.
Well, this is Happy, and Happy is a Puebloan milk snake. And these guys are native to Mexico. They get about 3 foot, so he's pretty much full grown. We've had Happy for about 10 years now. And they spend most of their time underground. They do resemble our local coral snakes. Mm-hmm. Not quite, but close.
Red and black, friend of Jack.
Yeah, but that rhyme, if you forget the rhyme, you'll get in trouble.
Just don't lose.
Let me do it backwards.
Just don't lose Happy. Well, there we go. You got to get a picture of that there, Cindy. Yeah. It's hump day. It's hump day.
Hi, y'all. I'm Maggie. Thank you for inviting us to your little get-together today. We are as pleased as punch to be here. I'm sure many of you know that the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo is a non-profit 501(c) organization, and we operate under the name Zoo Foundation, Inc. Being a nonprofit, we heavily rely on wonderful people like you and your organizations. If it wasn't for you, dear ones, and your compassionate hearts, I just don't know what this little old zoo would do. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Your generosity and continuous support is much appreciated. I'm so excited to share with y'all the new and exciting fundraisers that happened last year.
On March 9th, the event is the Night on the Wild Side, and it's in a hangar at Gulf Shores Airport, Jack Edwards Airport. And we have 15 restaurants that will be there, maybe 16 now. And you will be able to have encounters, like with Jasper and a whole bunch of animals. Some snakes, too, Mr. Silvers, Councilman Silvers. And Chevy Six is playing.
That's even better.
Yeah. Band, and it's decorated like a jungle, and it's a safari theme, and the decorations are outrageous. I mean, it's like you walk into a jungle. It's definitely the event of the year. So you don't have to dress really up, but you could dress like you're going into a safari, or you can dress like an animal if you want, whatever you want. Here, Kit, I know you're going to come. There you go. So here's posters, and we couldn't do it without sponsors like you. That's an update from, I think, a couple weeks ago. We've really come far, so...
Good.
I'm telling you, we need the support of the community to make this zoo happen. Thank you.
And I really think you'll get it. It has come a long ways, and I know it's been a long road. So
it
we're
has.
Excited.
It
we're
has
really
been
excited.
A long road.
Yes.
But am I missing anything?
Yeah, we're just so happy. It's really exciting because these animals finally get the zoo they deserve.
That's right.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes.
These animals, it's just what's in their best interest.
Yes.
Like I tell people, we had to borrow the money to do it. These animals deserve a home that they could live in and be properly taken care of. And we're finally getting to that point. We just need the whole community to get wrapped around this. We're going to open up volunteers to the community to come into the zoo, to this current zoo this summer, into the new zoo in the winter. And so we're looking forward to having huge community support from all across Alabama to help support this zoo. And we just really appreciate everything that you all are doing here tonight as well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations, you made, on one of the articles, top 10 places in the world to visit because it's one of the first new zoos, so kudos. That was awesome.
Thanks.
Well,
thank you
very much.
Appreciate
your time. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you for your patience.
My pleasure. Glad to help.
Okay, entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with 7 additional items. Approval of a liquor license application for the Wharf Boat Show. Approval of a liquor license for Sand Shaker at the Wharf. Approval of a liquor license for McClure's New York Bagel and Sandwich Shop. Resolution authorizing execution of a Memorandum of Understanding for Youth Athletic Coach Training. Resolution authorizing the execution of an automatic bid agreement with the City of Gulf Shores. Resolution appropriating funds to the Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo. Resolution appropriating funds to Boy Scout Troop 49.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering previous minutes from regular council meeting committee of the whole of 1/15/19. If there are no objections, reading the minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements by the council?
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I do want to announce that this coming Saturday is the 27th annual Seafood Festival in Carshoal. This is the fourth year that it's being put on at the Wharf. We've got a major line of the Platinum Premier Duo, the Slipstream. Webb Dalton Friends, The Main Stage, Funky Lampshades, David Jones, Paws of, on Parade, The Pep Parade, which is new this year, is that
That's
right?
That's the very first year.
JoJo Prez at 2:30, all kinds of food, all kinds of...
130.
Just going to be a great day. I haven't been there in the last couple of years. I've been kind of minus off the Sports Association, but I'll be in Orlando this weekend, but I'm going to miss it. But you got more vendors than you could ever can imagine.
Put one more vendor in that
Jeannie place. Says she's probably going to have to shut the bridge down and put vendors on the bridge this year. But anyways, it's a big deal. It helps out with our sports association, which is transitioning into another association and such. So come out and support it at the wharf this weekend. Here's
you have
her flyer.
A business. There's some the posters down here on the table. Please take them with you.
It's my understanding the sports commission could use some volunteers as well. I know the kids are getting credit in the honor society group. I don't know anybody else, but Saturday from 11 to 2, if you're available, or have kids at now.
Could always use help.
Mayor and Council, I'd like to just recognize a special guest. Brady Stevenson is here from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. His grandfather used to come years and years ago, and he's been coming here most of his life. So, Brady, we're glad to have you with us tonight.
Stand up and wave, everybody, Brady.
There you go, Brady.
Brady loves to fish. Don't you, buddy? You show us all pictures a little bit.
He really loves to catch.
Yeah.
Mayor, tomorrow is the Orange Beach Garden Club's 32nd annual Salad and Game Day. Starts at 10 o'clock at the Event Center, goes till 3. Lunch is served promptly at noon. I have 5 tickets left. So if anyone would like to come and join us for lunch or game, please come see me after council. Thank you.
Are you sure that's tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Am I supposed to be there?
And you're on the agenda, Mayor. Yeah.
Sorry. Had it for last week.
Yeah. Mayor, if I can, just next week is Mardi Gras. So we're actually starting our parades, and that'll begin on Friday. So believe it or not, the season is here. Friday night's parade with the Miriams will begin at 6:30. Saturday night, March 2nd, will be the Mystics Parade, which will begin at 6, so a little different time. And then the Fat Tuesday parade will begin at 2. All three of those parades will go west to east from the area near Finn and Fork at the traffic light near Phoenix West, and they will move to what is now Walgreens, formerly Rite Aid. A lot of people get confused with that. All the parades, when they hit the medians, will be on the north side, and so our messaging is really trying to encourage people find the side you want to be on and stay behind the barricades because the barricades will begin at that area. And then all three parades will have barricades from the median section on. So the key thing is for businesses, so John, for you and Crystal and anybody riding, you know, businesses know when the roads will shut down and traffic will get crazy, I'd say an hour before. They really shut the road down about 20 minutes before, but if you've got deliveries coming, they need to stop deliveries. So just make sure people know that. And then the wharf parades on Monday will have the 4 o'clock kids and pets. And then 6 o'clock is the floats down Main Street at the wharf. So we've got 4 parades in Orange Beach starting Friday of next week.
Anyone else? Okay. Auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in SWIFT supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving to presentations. Ken?
We have a proclamation. Whereas the mayor, the city council, and the citizens of the city of Orange Beach recognize the significance of planting of trees in the city of Orange Beach. History of our city, indeed, the very name of our city is associated with the orange tree, and where we in Orange Beach, Alabama, recognize the National Arbor Day Foundation helps promote the planting of trees, and now therefore be it proclaimed by the City of Orange Beach, City Council, and Mayor that February 23rd, 2019 is Arbor Day in the City of Orange Beach. Is there anybody here for that?
Yes, we need to come up and give you the details on the tree giveaway.
And then take this with you.
Sure, thank you, Ken. So just wanted to kind of announce that this Saturday, Arbor Day,
And I'll be doing the annual tree giveaway at in front of a community development building. Various bare root saplings and I guess it's a gallon pots trees will be available for giveaway. So.
What time? Do you like river birch?
8 o'clock to 10. There'll be river birch. We have a variety. So
variety.
A lot of different kinds of oaks.
And that this Saturday?
That's right. 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So Woody's going to be giving away trees.
Pass the torch? Joe passed the torch to Woody?
That's right. That's right.
He passed the wood to Woody.
I passed the wood to Woody.
That's right.
You said it. Grasshopper.
Thanks, so.
Thank you, Woody.
I could see a bright future for you, Woody.
Way to go, Chuck.
Woodchuck.
Woody and Chuck.
Here
Woodchuck.
We go. Here we go. Here we go.
I think I lost control, gentlemen. Pull the stick out. Moving to new business under miscellaneous addition. Approval of special retail liquor license application. Event concessions, Wharf Boat Show.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval allows retail liquor license, Sand Shaker at the Wharf.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of retail liquor license, McClure Holdings, McClure New York Bagel Sandwich Shop.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to resolutions. Resolution to update list of volunteer firefighters, reserve police officers covered under workman's compensation insurance.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Jeff
okay.
Silver. Yeah.
Right. Resolution authorizing the execution of a contract for law enforcement services of Baldwin County.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a voluntary cooperative agreement at Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
Move to adopt the resolution.
They said.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for magnesium hydroxide feed system, Utilities Department Aqua Products, $83,995.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid, Art Center Shoreline Stabilization and Boardwalk Project, M.D. Thomas Construction, not to exceed $64,727.
Move to adopt the resolution.
No.
Move to postpone.
Second the postponement.
Any discussion?
Discussion is we're waiting on a task order from Sawgrass Consulting for Project Management.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for two vehicles, Police Department, Donahue Chevrolet, $48,268.54.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the reimbursement of the general fund in the event general obligation warrant is issued.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a vehicle for the administrative department state bid, $17,068.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order, BKI, Professional Engineering Services, Design, Construction Engineering, Inspection of Louder Lane Intersection Improvements Canal Road.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second. Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That will be important when we have the hearings to point out that that's being designed, which will be set later.
Yes.
Yep.
Resolution in support of protecting local control over public streets, public assets, and a call on Congress to reaffirm such local control by reversing recent FCC actions related to wireless facilities, H.R. 530.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a lease agreement with the police department for William Scotsman, modular office, $57,410.72, 24 months.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase debris vacuum for Landscape Department, National Intergovernmental Purchasing Alliance, $23,892.86.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a bunker rake. Landscape Department, National Intergovernmental Purchasing Alliance, $23,165.01.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? In addition, resolution authorizing the execution of a memorandum of understanding Coach Safety Foundation for Youth Athletic Coaching Training.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution authorizing execution of an automatic aid agreement, City of Gulf Shores, for structural fire response.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appropriating funds, Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo, for a night on the wild side. Fundraiser sponsorship, $5,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Addition, resolution appropriating funds to Boy Scout Troop 49 for Bennett Reitz Eagle Scout Project, $500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to ordinances, first reading, ordinance amending Chapter 18 of the Code of Ordinance, City of Orange Beach, entitled Courts, to add Article 3, entitled Pre-Trial Diversion Program. Moving to adjourn. Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, moving to committee of the whole meeting for Tuesday, February 19th, 2019. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costa is absent. Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Considering the previous minutes, the regular council meeting committee of the whole of 2519, those will be moved forward for review. Moving to miscellaneous, approve to publish Amendment 750 notice regarding the wharf, discuss collaboration with Auburn University for tarball sampling. All right. The wharf issue, any discussion? Anything y'all
no
talk about that?
No discussion,
The
University of Alabama.
Okay, let me come back to that. Let me go back to the wharf. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The wharf. The developer has asked that we hold off on the publication until next meeting.
Right.
Because there's some little things in the agreement that's got to be just right, or we'll have to start over, and we don't want to do that. So.
Okay.
It's a long enough process.
It has.
Please send the message.
I actually just sent that.
This is the last reprieve.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody good with that?
Yes.
All right. Discuss collaboration with Alabama, the University of Alabama, for tarball sampling.
That says Auburn right there.
I know, but it's wrong.
Is it wrong?
It's actually both.
Okay, well, let me explain it.
It is both.
It's two.
Y'all know that we have the Gulf Coast Research Center by Auburn University coming to Orange Beach. The University of Alabama Engineering Department has reached out and wants to do a long-term project on studying tarballs. So this is a really, really big deal because this is the first collaborative effort between two major universities through our new research center. Did I phrase that correctly, Philip?
That's sufficient.
Okay. And for the media in the room, that is a really, really big deal. So I would love any help you can get getting that across the bay.
They won't be fighting over football. It'll be tar balls that they're looking
for. There we go.
And that is huge. That is huge to bring both those universities together. Sure was.
Yes.
And Dr. Clement was the key part of that.
Right.
He's now at the engineering department at the University of Alabama. So it's continuing his research, and he's collaborating with Dr. Hayward and the engineering school at Auburn.
Yeah.
So we want to see the data. We're still on top of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, he's instrumental in making it all happen, so.
So it'll be a tri-party agreement because we'll be helping to fund it.
Exactly.
So this is a great example of what's to come. And most of what's coming will not be with us having to fund it. So very excited about this.
And we did reach out to South Alabama, and we appreciate it.
So anything else, Philip, on that, Eunice?
Yes,
you good? Okay. Moving to resolutions. A resolution authorizing the execution of a professional service agreement with Paul Henning, M.D., Medical Director Services. Y'all familiar with that? From University of South Alabama Medical Center?
Yep.
Very impressive.
Good job, guys. We have the
That's right. We did.
The opportunity to partner. Do what? Yeah.
That's what Justin freshened us up on a few weeks ago. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Well, the opportunity to partner with South Alabama and their emergency room internship program, emergency program.
Yes.
And we'll be doing time over there with our paramedics, and we will actually have physicians riding on our trucks and ambulances at a certain percentage of the time.
That's our goal, pending our meeting tomorrow.
Yeah. So if you're lucky enough to have a major medical event, we may have a doctor on the vehicle when it shows up at your house.
That's right.
So that's a big deal.
It's major.
So, if you're lucky. Having been on that bed waiting for them to show up at the front door, there's some consolation in knowing they're going to be there in 3 minutes and with the possibility of a doctor being there.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Can't beat it.
Thank you. We hope that works out. Resolution authorizing the purchase of a backhoe, $109,008.16. Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Sawgrass Consulting, professional surveying, design services, forced main connection road crossing, Canal Road, Forley Beach Express intersection, not to exceed $10,000. Mm-hmm. Resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an implementation agreement with the Alabama Department of Conservation, National Resources for the Coastal Alabama Sea Turtle Triage Restoration Project. Resolution awarding the bid for two UTVs for the fire department. Any questions on any of those? Moving to ordinances. Ordinance amending number Chapter 42, Article 3, Code of Ordinances, Flood Damage Prevention, to adopt the State of Alabama model of ordinance with revisions. Reminder, public hearing, first reading, Brookings.
Mayor.
Oh.
If you don't want to go over it, I'm fine with that.
It's my favorite thing to go over, Lanny.
It's riveting. But, you know, last year I came to you and we revised one of the articles of the Land Development Code. This is kind of the next step. Most of what's in that model ordinance is mandated by FEMA, so it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several sections that are voluntary that we can choose to either adopt or not adopt. I really quickly wanted to run through those. This is not something that we necessarily have to move to the next council meeting. We have to have this adopted and approved by FEMA by the middle of April. Mm-hmm. So basically what it does is it's mandated again by FEMA that we adopt this with some language, and you can flip through. What it'll do is adopt the new flood study. It'll also have a provision in there that when a new flood study comes out, it's automatically adopted through the ordinance. That's a voluntary provision, and that's something I recommend that we leave in there. There's a lot of language in there about stop work orders and gives the authority to the floodplain administrator right of entry and things to be able to enforce our regulations. That was not in the original ordinance, and I recommend that we leave those in there. You can go ahead. Go ahead. Letters of map provision. Basically, FEMA says that if you fill a lot, you have to at least fill it to the BFE. This provision is voluntary, but it says that you have to fill it to the BFE plus our free board. I recommend that we leave that in there. Keep on rolling. This is more language on right of entry and revocation of permits. Just gives us the authority to revoke a permit or do a stop work order if somebody's out of compliance. I recommend leaving the free board that we have now, the 2 feet in the AE and the 3 feet in the VE. Now, this provision here is new, and it is strictly voluntary. But basically what FEMA is asking us to do is if you enclose the area below the elevated floor that's supposed to be storage that we know gets converted from time to time to a bathroom or a bedroom, FEMA is recommending to participating communities that you put this language in there that requires that a deed be recorded with a non-conversion clause, basically saying on the deed to that property that that area will not be converted into living space. Again, you know, there are pros and cons to doing that. That's something you may want to think about. It is not mandatory, so
what
we can.
It's
going to discourage people from converting in it. And also, if you go to buy a house, when you see that deed and if it's got a bedroom and a bathroom downstairs, you're going to know that that's an illegal bedroom and bathroom. A lot of times,
nonconforming.
A lot of times, someone will buy a house and they'll, you know, advertised as four bedroom, three bath, and then we show up and we say, well, these two bedrooms and one bath on the ground floor are illegal. And you know, they paid for a four bedroom, three bath. They didn't know. If it's recorded on the deed, then that would.
Is that more so they don't cover it under flood insurance?
No, they're not going to cover it under flood insurance anyway if it's below base flood, no matter, you know, whether it's storage or living area. So, I mean, that's strictly up to us, and that's something, like I said, we don't have to decide right this second, but something to think about. That's for VE zones and AE zones. Another one that they're recommending that accessory buildings not be allowed in VE zones or coastal AE zones, which basically is, you know, the VE zones are basically beachfront. There are some VE zones down toward the Burkhardt area. Coastal AE zones could be like two blocks inland. The FEMA is recommending that you not allow accessory structures. Yes. By definition, and when we get to the definition section, there's a definition of what FEMA's definition of an accessory structure. I personally, you know, doing damage assessments after storms, have not seen a big issue. We require them to be anchored and tied down, and you know, if it's a big enough, in my opinion, if it's a big enough surge to float one of those or knock those into other structures and cause damage. You know, that's going to be accessory structure is going to be the least of your problems. But there again, they're recommending it, so I'm bringing it to you. Subdivisions, Kit, all this is voluntary, but Kit's looked through this, and she's already kind of weeded out the things that she doesn't think we need to adopt. So what you've got is what recommended by Kit to leave. All that has to do with drainage and stormwater design. Another voluntary thing, and I think this one may be something we want to look at, breakaway wall enclosures. So the enclosure in a V zone, FEMA recommends that you limit it to 299 square feet, because at 300 square feet, it makes the flood premium jump considerably. Gulf Shores is already doing this. We've never had it in our ordinance. I'm asking you just to consider it.
The V zone?
In the V zone only. It wouldn't limit an enclosure in an AE zone. You could enclose the entire downstairs if it's storage.
Right.
Right.
What I just said is, because there's a lot of people building right now, that there's one more in a row that's doing all those cinder blocks. It's storage, but it's got breakaway. But
and that would still be allowed because it's a AE zone.
Right.
Okay, this is the deed restriction again. Critical facilities, there's a whole section that mimics what the federal government's doing for critical facilities, just basically saying that they need to be elevated to above the 500-year flood instead of the 100-year flood. And that's for hospitals, police fire stations. Never had somebody go so long they needed two mics before.
Carry on.
This is the short version.
This is the short. Yeah, this. I mean, this thing's like 40 pages. Not my presentation. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. This is where you get your definitions. The coastal AE zone is going to affect some properties along the larger bodies of water. Basically, there's a line on the new maps. Inland, anything. From the shoreline to that line is going to be considered a coastal AE zone. Basically means you got to build to VE standards. That's a mandatory requirement. That's something we're just going to have to swallow. The critical facility, that's the definition, but like I said, it's mainly utilities and emergency buildings. That line that I'm talking about is called the limit of moderate wave action. So there's a definition of that. Now this substantial damage and substantial improvement, if you'll remember, substantial damage is after a storm. If you're damaged more than 50%, you have to bring your structure up to the current requirements. substantial improvement is if you just improve your property more than 50% and it's non-conforming, you have to bring the entire house up. FEMA recommends, and they always have recommended, that you have a cumulative process. In other words, if your improvements over 5 years equal 50%, then it would kick in the requirement. Or if your damages over 5 years or 10 years or whatever you choose, if you'll remember, we used to have this in the ordinance after Hurricane Ivan. I came to you and asked you to take it out because we had entire subdivisions that were damaged 35%. And if we got hit one more storm, that entire subdivision basically would have been demolished because, you know, they say you could elevate a slab-on-grade house, and you can, but it's not economically feasible.
They dealt with that in Houston after the flood.
You're right. They're still dealing. And Baton Rouge did the same thing. So if you want a cumulative clause, they've got the language in there. The one thing that is mandatory, the substantial damage, we had what they called the one act of God clause. One storm, if you're less than 50%, you wipe the slate clean and you start over at the next storm. One mandatory provision for substantial damage is that now a structure on two separate occasions during a 10-year period each exceed 25% damage, then that is considered substantial damage. That's mandatory. But it's still not as bad as the cumulative clause, but it doesn't benefit the homeowner as much as the one act of God clause did.
25% of the cost to rebuild or the cost of the lot in the rebuild?
25% of the value of the structure prior to the damage.
Just the structure.
So you look at some of these houses that, you know, the appraised value is you know, $70,000-$80,000. That's not a lot of repairs. So that's something, again, that I think we need to have a discussion about. Go ahead. That's it. Okay. So that's just a real quick overview. You've got the draft ordinance. Like I say, we need to get it adopted before and sent to FEMA before the April 19th deadline, but Wanda and I both have a lot of work to do between now and then. So if we move it to the council meeting, maybe for the first reading, and then just let it go to a second reading, and we should have everything kind of tied up. And if there's any provisions in there that you'd like more information on or want to discuss, just let me know, and I'll get it to you.
I'll tell you now, I have an issue with the accessory structure. I'd like to see it removed. And it's up to all of us. It's a vote. But I have an issue with deed restrictions. I just believe it imposes on our free right. It's my deed. It's my house. And I don't want to be told what to do with my deed.
And I don't disagree with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lanny.
Thank you, Lanny.
Thanks, Lanny.
Thanks, Lanny. That's a lot of work, and we appreciate it, buddy. Really do. Reminder, public hearing, Broken Sound PUD, March 12, 2019. Louder Pelican rezoning, March 12, 2019. Canal Road setbacks, March 12. Yes, you can.
Cecil Young, 22700 Perdita Beach Boulevard. As you all know, I'm on the parents. This has been brought to us twice, and it was turned down. It's because property cannot cause a hardship. So, and I told them at the time, I said, bring it up with y'all, and make y'all make a decision on it. Well, this time they're asking for two. I think there's three lots down there, aren't they? Hit the one that's real short. It needs another, 10, 20 foot? It needs 20 foot. Well, this is my opinion. My opinion is if we change this place for these two, then we have to change it for the whole city. I'm a firm believer what I do for one man, I do for the other. And no matter where it comes in, it's all right. Now, I have no objection to you changing it. But what I'm saying, I think you change any zone, any time. We have had too many zone changes and infringements on our zones in this move in Orange Beach. You look at that beach. You got 5 to 130 foot, you know, I mean, with businesses and all. And so I think in this case here, if you think about it, I don't know how many all over the city will have to be changed, but anybody that's got a 30-foot setback, He shouldn't have to go between them. Because I think this was set a precedent, and it's just like a man, I think your brother had a house over here that wanted a duplex in. Well, let's make a zone change him to, so he can have a duplex in a single-family home. We don't do these things. So I want you to give it real good consideration, because it's just my firm belief that if you change something for one person, you change it for all. And I don't care. I don't know about what the man's got invested in the property or not, but I bought a lot of property, but I always bought what I could sell. So I appreciate y'all listening. You have some sugar.
Thank you, Cecil.
Thank you, Cecil.
Does she have your permission to refute and rebut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please do.
Or to enlighten?
Yeah. Embellish?
Enlighten.
Embellish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Enlighten. We get where you're coming from. Yeah. We do. We understand your point completely.
Exactly.
Okay. The reason why this was brought in front of Planning Commission was because corner lots on Canal Road, when the house faces a side street, has two 30-foot setbacks. It has a 30-foot front setback on the side street, and it has a 30-foot setback on Canal Road. That eats up a whole lot of buildable area on lots that were created a long time ago. This 30-foot setback on Canal Road was in anticipation of the need to acquire right-of-way for the widening of Canal Road. That's the reason why it exists. All other lots in the city of Orange Beach on corner lots have 10-foot setbacks from the right-of-way. So it's not all of the all of the corner lots in the city. It's just because Canal Road could potentially need to be widened. The reason why the proposal is east of Sampson is our high-density multifamily ends at Sampson. There is no reason, in the opinion of staff, for right-of-way to have to be acquired on Canal Road, because the existing right-of-way is sufficient to widen to three lanes, mm-hmm. which is all we should have to do in light of the fact that it's all single-family residential from Sampson East. So the justification is because there is no need to widen Canal Road, and therefore that 30-foot side setback on a corner lot is antiquated, and therefore staff supports not any others, but only in the case where there's no need for additional right-of-way.
Question.
Cecil.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay. Cecil brings up a good point. If you do it here, then anybody else would have a right to ask to do it. Is there anywhere else in the city where this exists?
I believe it exists only in roads where we think there may be rights-of-way, which is just Canal Road and 161. That everywhere else, a side setback on a corner lot is 10 feet.
Okay. So if this was to happen, essentially it would apply. We would be making a change, an ordinance change, specifically to this one area. There's not a smattering of other places around town where we have to worry about the same type of request.
Correct. Okay. And you cannot say that there is no need for right-of-way on 161 and Canal Road west of there. And therefore, this is not in the same circumstance as those other corner lots.
Okay. So another question, if we ever should need to, we could go to three lanes.
Oh, yes. There's
why would we give up the right to go to four if we ever needed it, just for this? I mean, why do it?
Because I feel that those lots should be able to be developed in a manner that matches and complements the neighborhood. They are so small that you end up with lots that are actually, in my opinion, less valuable than the neighborhood. And I think that that is an antiquated rule, because the density does not warrant the need to build a four-lane roadway unless somebody came in and upzoned all that property east of Sampson. That would be the only reason why we'd need to go to greater than three lanes.
We don't know what's going to happen in 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, that it may get upzoned at some point. And my point is just, why would we give it up? And the other is, and we discussed this a little bit earlier, if someone bought the property knowing the zoning and they knew what it was, then they can live with that. I don't think we should give up a right-of-way for 50-year future to benefit that little piece. And I'm just at a different opinion on this one. And I respect your opinion. Mine is just different.
Anyone else want to add to it?
I want to say that the Planning Commission has already heard this and approved.
I wish I'd have known it. It was coming up. I'd missed it, but I would have loved to have spoken to the Planning Commission.
Yes, and I'm sorry that you were not there. It was unanimously approved for recommendation to the council.
And I believe that the recommendation was because the city took over Canal Road down there. Yeah. And there is no high-rise development, high-density development from, I know Kit said Sampson, but I believe that we agreed east of Wilson.
70 years ago, I didn't think there'd be a four-lane road right out here and all those condos out there.
Yes, sir.
And I came up a dirt road to come right over here to the post office to get my water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you think that there won't be a council here, we'll have condos all the way down to Bear Point, I'll live to be 120 years old and kiss you. I promise you.
God bless
they
you.
They will
I
be
hope
down
do.
There in the future. This, oh yeah. Well, you may be mayor after him, or you may be mayor, whoever will be, but somebody's going to say, we need the money.
No, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I led the charge, and the mayor led the charge on that also.
Well, I'm
in his first term as a council person, Mr. Cecil.
Yeah.
And those residents, after we did our Horizons 2020 study, said we don't want it, and therefore, by resolution and ordinance, we said no more east of Wilson. I believe it was Wilson. I could be wrong.
All right, we're changing this one tonight. Any ordinance can be changed.
By some other person.
I
guarantee you, one of these days you're going to need
that's an established neighborhood.
I mean, like I said, that was just my opinion. But I don't, if every play, everybody's got a 30-foot setback, and especially now, we turn people down that wanted to build a building, we give them 4 or 5 feet, which is nice. But they wanted 10 feet. We didn't give it to them. So, but that's my opinion. I hope you consider it.
Thank you, Cecil.
And just to finish my thought, the Planning Commission approved it on the basis that it would enhance the neighborhood, not detract it.
That's
because
right.
The property with the setbacks allows for 800 square feet on the ground. And the homes around it are much bigger and nicer. And it was felt that it would enhance the neighborhood.
Well, you can't, if it couldn't enhance it, it couldn't build it. You can't build nothing there. So it wouldn't enhance it one way or the other.
We're saying that with the change and the reduction in easement, a larger home could be built that fit the neighborhood.
But it'd be a very small home.
What can currently be built there?
Nothing can be currently built there.
Yes, it can. You can build two stories. You can build 800. You can build two stories. You can build 850 feet on the ground, on the slab.
But he's going to have to, that box lost so little, it didn't get to, he couldn't build one.
Not a very small house. It's a very small footprint. You can have a 16, 17, 1800 square foot house. If it goes up. So I think this is a Solomon's type of conundrum because there's no right or wrong.
No, there's not. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I'm saying we should go by the rules we have. Right. And if you do it here, anybody else that comes up for one, then they should be given.
But let's summarize. That argument there would hold water just about 99% of the time with every other argument, except for here, there's no other situation in the city that would require this change.
That it would affect.
What I'm talking about, it's the 30-foot setback. We've got other places where there's 30-foot setbacks.
No, not. That's what I was asking Kit. We don't have that situation anywhere else in the city except there.
What about across the street?
It's 10-foot and 30-foot on any other corner in the city. And I'm not saying either. I don't know either way yet. But my point is, just to summarize, you have a set of lots that are unique to the entire city. So you're not necessarily setting a precedent by saying yes or no. But by the same token, by allowing a smaller footprint, smaller home, are you compromising the integrity of the value of the surrounding homes? That's the question we have in front of us. So
other people wanted it, then they could come back and get the other 10-foot that live down there if they want to build them another, add on to their house or whatever they want to.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. It should be all the way.
Well, I appreciate it, Mr. Cecil.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Cecil.
Cecil.
Well, and I'm just of the agreement that I cannot believe we're willing to give up 30 feet right-of-way all the way from Sampson down so somebody could build a house to benefit so the neighborhood looks better. It just doesn't make any sense to me. We've just never done it anywhere else. We've done certain corners or certain right-of-ways where maybe a corner came across, but we've never given up a whole stretch like this, so it could just benefit that one area.
But there are only three properties?
Yeah, it's just, well, redeveloped properties would benefit, obviously, but the only vacant properties are three properties.
But my point is, why would we risk ever needing a four lane to benefit three properties right now?
Can I just want to make a
point. Can I ask this question before you make that point, because you might want to add on it? You said there's three undeveloped properties.
Three vacant properties.
Okay, but there's properties with the same setbacks that are already developed?
Yeah, they actually had sufficient depth such that they could build a house facing the side street and handle that 30-foot and 30-foot.
And have a larger than 800 feet. I got you. Okay. I'm sorry.
I just want to clarify, we're not giving up any right-of-way. The right-of-way is going to be the same width that it was before this.
That's right.
What we're doing is reducing the setback between Canal Road and where that property can be built. If you need it, and it's still going to be 20 feet, so it's still going to be more than any other corner lot. And if you needed the four-lane for any reason, that you can still acquire right-of-way and reduce it. If you got 10 more feet, then their side setback's still going to be the same as it is everywhere else, and you can build your – so it's not going to keep you from building a four-lane, and we're not giving up any right-of-way. The right-of-way is going to stay the same.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Lanny, for clarifying that.
The only question is it has to be 10 feet closer to the road.
That's true.
Okay. Thank you, Cecil. Appreciate it. Any other thoughts, questions on that before we move on? Okay. Public hearing. Wharf PUD overflow parking areas on March 12th. Emerald Coast Marine at the Wharf on March the 12th. Any thoughts or any questions on any of those? Okay. All right, we'll open the floor for anyone that has a question or comment. Complaint? Nothing?
Any attaboys?
Okay, then I move that we go into executive session to discuss threatened and pending litigation.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, statement. 30 minutes. We should be back.
Do you have a statement, Wanda?
A disclaimer.
My name is Wanda Cochran. I'm an attorney licensed to practice law in the state of Alabama, and pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, I am certifying that it is appropriate for the council to go into executive session for the purposes so stated.
Thank you.
How's that?
Thank you, Wanda.
What brainiac had to come up with that in Montgomery or Washington for us to say? I mean, golly.